Beloved, in Jesus' name, amen. Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. Yeah, what I'm going to share with you today, it's just, you will have a lot of time to reflect and think. It's things that look very simple, but very important in the kingdom of God. If I were to ask you, when you say you are a Christian, what do you mean? Some of you will have a lot of answers, isn't it? The other one will give that, the other one will give that, the other one will give that. And have you noticed that's why the secular world classifies Christianity as a religion? You know that? Yeah, the secular world classifies Christianity as a religion, just like Islam and others. It means, according to the world, they see what most of you do being not different from what every other body who claims to have a religion is doing. Have you ever thought of that? And we can't blame them. It's us who haven't represented the Christian version of what God wants. Amen? So I'll start by asking you a question. If you say you are a Christian, what preoccupies your mind? And whose business are you busy with? Because it's very easy to say, I'm a Christian, but you are busy with your own businesses, and it's not about the Father's business. Did you know that if you are a child of God, we're talking about a relationship with the Lord. We're talking about fellowship with the Lord. We're talking about being consumed by what the kingdom of God is all about. And if you live understanding the kingdom of God, then you will realize that actually everything else falls into place. You remember when Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. So in other words, Jesus says the right way to do it, it's always being kingdom-minded. So today I want to share with you about being kingdom-minded. Amen?
Amen.
Being kingdom-minded. So it means, even in whatever I do, am I kingdom-minded? Or am I mindful about many other things? You remember when Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus and Martha was troubled about much serving, like most of you are? You are very busy. Okay? Tell your neighbor, I hope you are not like Martha, where you are very busy and you are not taking the important things first. Amen? Because when Martha thought that she will be rewarded for being busy, she says, Jesus, don't you care? That time, I mean, Jesus had visited them. And she thought the right way to do for Jesus is to keep on being busy and serving. And she says, Jesus, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? And Jesus said, Martha, 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 you are troubled and preoccupied with so many things, and yet only one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen it. So, have you chosen that very one thing that is needful? Or are we so busy with our own programs and our own agendas? And the thing that actually made Jesus to succeed on the earth was not that he was the Son of God. Because, you know, Mark actually put it very clear. In many times you will find the book of Mark doesn't refer to Jesus as the Son of God. It refers to him as the Son of Man. You've noticed that, isn't it? The Son of Man. Even sometimes Jesus would be saying, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He was trying to say to us, I came, you men, as you are. So the thing that made Jesus to be successful on the earth, he came being like you and I, but he was kingdom-minded. You think of everything, you come, you will hear Jesus say, even his parables, he would keep on saying, the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of God is like this. And he says, when you pray, you must say, our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come. So when last did you think about the kingdom? When last were you kingdom minded? And sometimes you find that even when we are worried about many things, we are thinking about many things. But Jesus says only one thing is needful. Can we go to the book of Luke chapter 2? We're going to do it in the New King James Version. Luke chapter 2, verse 49 to 51. We are going to look at the life of Jesus, even from the time that he was still a young boy, 12 years old. So Sunday school, you can start well like Jesus. So one time the parents of Jesus went to Jesus with Jesus to the temple. They went to Jerusalem. And when they went back, Jesus was missing. Tell your neighbor, Jesus was missing as a little boy. So he was lost. They thought they had him. That's in the book of Luke chapter 2. So they thought they had him. So when they reached where they were going, they realized the boy is not here. Then they had to go back and look for him in Jerusalem, look everywhere in the temple. When they came to the temple, they found him there. If your child is lost, do you think people can look for your child in church? Huh? If you are lost, can we look for you in church? And we say that we couldn't find you, and they go to church and they say, oh, this man has locked himself in church. He's praying the whole week seeking the face of God. And we thought he was lost. If you are kingdom-minded, the way you do things will look weird to the world, because you are operating in a different kingdom. So Luke chapter 2, verse 49 to 51, New King James Version. I don't know if my readers are here. None of them. Am I missing all my readers today? What's happening with my readers? And he said to them, it's Luke chapter 2, 49 to 51, New King James Version. He said to them, why did you seek me? It's Jesus asking his parents. Did you not know that I must be about what? About my father's business. Why are you so worried? I'm supposed to be doing my father's business. Can you do that with people when people are finding that you are not found? Sometimes they say, why are you so scarce this day? You say to them, I'm busy with my father's business. Because I'm kingdom minded. So he says, didn't you know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. So the mother, when Jesus answered, don't you know that I must be busy with my father's business? She did not see it as being undermined. The Bible says when he went with them back, he subjected himself to his parents. So he still obeyed his parents. Okay? But the mother took note of the statement that was said, even though she did not understand it. What was the statement? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? So ask your neighbor, whose business are you busy with? When last did you think about the father's business? The father's business is the business of souls. It's the business about the kingdom. Amen? We can think about so many things. The only thing that will last even to eternity is the souls. Did you know that the many things that we possess here on earth, when you leave them behind? Even if you've got 5 cars, they don't even give you one to go with in the grave. Have you noticed that? Yeah, they keep all of them. You go. Even if you've got five houses, they don't even give you one to go with. You still go and rot like anybody else. Which says, when we are here on the earth, we should be mindful of the Father's business. And that is what will last beyond everything else. So Jesus was always motivated by doing the will of the Father. That's why he was victorious here on the earth. Go with me to the book of John chapter 4 verse 34. I will read it in the Message translation. Jesus says, "The food that keeps me going is that I do the will of the one who sent me, finishing the work he started." So Jesus was preoccupied with the work of his Father. So if you say you are a Christian, did you know that in that word Christian, there is a name Christ? Amen. I usually hear people saying, "I'm a Christian who is not born again." Haven't you heard that? "Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm not born again." As if you can be a Christian without Christ. That's why the world will call it a religion. Because they don't see Christ in your Christianity. They were supposed to see that. So Jesus says, the food that keeps me going is going about doing the will of my Father. That's what keeps me going. Some of us, we are so much consumed with the kingdom that all we're thinking about is God's kingdom. As if we even no longer have our own individual needs. We are more concerned about the need of the kingdom of God. And we know that when we are busy with the Father's business, the Father will be busy with our businesses. Did you know that God is working behind the scenes? Even when you are here in church now, seeking his face, coming here to fellowship with others, God is working your issues behind the scene. Because when you are busy with his business, he will be busy with your businesses too. If you look in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, when God said in Genesis 2:18, he said, "It's not good for a man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And then, verse 19 doesn't say, "And Adam went about looking for a wife." Did you notice that? The following verse doesn't say, "And Adam went about looking for a wife." So as you go there, you will realize that actually, Adam got busy with the kingdom of God, with the Father's business. And as he was busy with the Father's business, the Father was sorting out the wife issues. Amen. You see the trick? Tell your neighbor, as you are busy with the Father's business, the Father is busy with your issues. Where we miss it is that we are usually concerned with our issues and we spend a lot of time chasing after our things. And our issues. We're using a wrong formula. So, look at Jesus' attitude. I love Jesus. Go with me to the book of John chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. I'll do it in the New King James Version. This is one of the most powerful verses about the commitment of Jesus to doing the will of the Father. And we can learn from him if we call ourselves Christians. John chapter 9, verse 4 and 5, New King James Version says, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." Did you see Jesus' attitude? He says, "I must." Okay, when you hear "must," What does that word must say to you? What does it mean? Is it optional?
No.
Huh? Must is not optional. It's an obligation. He says, I must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day, the night is coming where no one can work. So I want us to pick two things here in what Jesus was saying. He starts by saying, I must, meaning I've got no option. So some of you have got a lot of options. You choose whether you want to serve God. You choose whether you want to go to church. You choose whether you want to pray. You choose whether you want to give. It's optional. Have you noticed that? Huh? Have you noticed that your behavior shows that this is optional? For you, it's not like Jesus, who says, I must do the works of my Father. I must. Tell your neighbor, for Jesus, it wasn't optional. And for most of us, it's optional. It's a bit cold today. Can I go to church? Okay, do I really have to pray? I'm tired. Do I really have to give? No, how will I pay that? So it's all optional. But Jesus says, I must. Are you going to do it as an obligation? Are you going to do it knowing that this is what the Lord expects of me? If I call myself a Christian, this is what I must do. Reflecting the will of my Father. And he says, while it is still day, for the night cometh where no one will work. Do you know that you've got an opportunity to serve God now when you are still alive? Do you know that the night cometh when you will not be able to work? So even the many things that we are busy with, the time will come when you will have to leave those things and you depart. Have you noticed that almost every weekend when you pass through graveyard, there is no weekend where there are no people being buried? Have you noticed that? Yeah, we usually come this way and there is so... Every Saturday when you pass there, there are cars and cars. So it means somebody's time has ended on the earth. And that should teach us we've got a limited time on earth. There will be a time when you depart and face your master. So he says, I must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day, for the night cometh where no one will work. So you've got an opportunity now to serve God with all your heart, to be committed to the Lord with all your might, with all your strength, and with all your abilities. Amen? You've got to be so much on fire for the Lord that you are almost like, I think there were the olden days where many people, the day that you accept Christ, it's like you are in another world. You are so much on fire, so much passionate. So Jesus in his life, he was actually on fire for his Father's work. Have you ever, I want you to love God so much that people will call you a Christian fanatic. You are like a fan. You know, most of those fans in soccer stadium or rugby stadium, they are consumed, isn't it? And very busy because they are fans. So imagine I'm a fanatic of the Lord and people can't see any difference about how much I love my God. John chapter 2 verse 17 in the Contemporary English Version. John 2:17 CEV. The disciples then remembered that the scripture say, my love for your house burns in me like a fire. Amen. Other versions would say, the zeal of the Lord's house has consumed me. So my love for the work of the Lord burns in me like a fire. It's like there's something within me that's moving, that's making me not to relax. Amen. I'm on fire for the Lord. I love the Lord with all my heart, and I will not trade him for anything. Amen. What about you? God knows you very well, and he knows what you treasure the most. He also knows what you are passionate about. Just give you 30 seconds to pause and think. Where am I really? So in the Bible, in the book of Psalms, you will usually see the word Selah, S-E-L-A-H, means pause and think. So even now, let me give you just 30 seconds just to pause and think. Where is my life? What am I busy with? What am I passionate about? And you cannot deceive your heart, because God knows your heart. Amen. Do you know where you are? Are you satisfied with where you are? Are you satisfied that if the Lord comes back, he would say, well done, you good and faithful servant? Other people may be, you may be trying to impress people, and other people may not even know the things that you do or that you don't do. Even me as the pastor, I may not know everything you do and what you don't do. I don't have a kingdom of my own. The Father, all of us will have to do with him. We'll have to face him when he comes, when the Lord comes back. So it means I must always be saying, Lord, you know me. The psalmist says, you know even my thinking. Even before I think, you already know. So if he knows me, then why am I deceiving myself by pretending? Who am I deceiving? Who am I cheating? Because when you are pretending, we can give you all the accolades here on the earth. Just like, have you noticed that in funerals, even people who were very bad, in a funeral, you will see how people talk about that person. I've never attended a funeral where people were talking about the bad that this person was doing all the time and the trouble that, hey, it's good that he's gone. He used to cause all the troubles. No. They always say something. To an extent that sometimes they expect us as pastors when we are burying them to pray for their ways to open up. It's too late. So you are hearing the voice of the Lord today. You are hearing what God is saying today. Work while it is still day, for the night cometh when no one will be able to work. Be kingdom minded. Did you know that God knows you personally? He even knows your thoughts. He even knows those things that you are hiding. He even knows when he is prompting you to do something good for his kingdom and you say no. Yeah. The book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16 in the Message translation. Revelation 3, 15 and 16 Message. He says, I know you inside out and find little to my liking. You are not cold. You are not hot. Far better to be either cold or hot. You are stale. You are stagnant. You make me want to vomit. Did you see how the Lord was talking about this church here? He says, I know you inside out. And I find little to my liking. You are not cold. You are not hot. Far better to be either cold or hot. Did you know that sometimes it's better to get a sinner who is in the world than a sinner in church? A sinner in church is a very dangerous one. Because he does not acknowledge himself as a sinner. He's still a wolf in the sheep's clothing. So rather be a wolf and then we run away from you. We know you are a wolf. So he says, you are neither cold nor hot. At least you should have been cold or hot. So if you are not on fire for the Lord, then just be in the world. Because this thing of always having one foot in, one foot out. One foot in, one foot out. You are even bringing blasphemy to the name of the Lord. That's why some people can't even... Some of you people who are close to you, they wouldn't want to be Christians because they will say, when you say you want them to be Christians, they will say, ah, if this one can get to heaven, I will get in with the back, going backwards like this. It will be so easy for me that I don't have to be facing forward. If this one, are you talking about this one? And we here in church, we think, you are hot. People who are with you all the time, they know who you are. You know yourself too. So we need to be kingdom-minded that if people were to ask, whether it's in your work or anywhere else, if people were to ask about you, can people say something about you and the kingdom and being a fanatic of the kingdom of heaven? Because sometimes we are busy with many things that our hearts are consumed with a lot of things, with our own businesses, with our own agendas. We're always thinking about how do I do that? How will I do that? How will that? How will that? And we're never thinking about the kingdom. If you go with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, I'll read in the Passion Translation, TPT. He says, for your heart will always pursue what you esteem as your treasure. Other version says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Most of us, we say we are Christians, we love God. But our hearts are not with God. That's why Jesus said, they draw near to me with their mouth, but their hearts are far from me. That's kingdom issues. So God wants us to be so much in the kingdom, so much preoccupied with the kingdom, that that's our lives. Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, I'll do it in CEV, but I will explain it also in the King James Version. He says, but more than anything else, put God's work first and do what he wants. Then the other things will be yours as well. So according to Jesus, the recipe of success here on the earth is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, when you do this, all these other things will be added to you. Unfortunately, most of us, we are so concerned with our things. We are pursuing things. We are seeking after things. But he says the secret is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added unto you. So it means if Jesus was on the earth and he was always preoccupied with the kingdom, I will also be preoccupied with the kingdom. To an extent that let people rather mock you about your love for the Lord. Let them rather ridicule you about how much of a fanatic you are of the Lord. To show that indeed you are on fire for this Jesus. And then you will even say, then I'm not ashamed to be associated with Christ. Amen? I'll be bold and confident, and I will not be ashamed to be associated with Christ. Because in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 in the NLT, it says, 1 John 4, 17 NLT, and as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. How do we live here in this world? We live like Jesus here in this world. Ask your neighbor, are you living like Jesus? Tell your neighbor, don't answer me. Just say it in your heart. Because in any way, your neighbor may not give you the right answer. But at least you've asked the question. So that question is meant to ask you to be your own question. Am I really living like Jesus? Because according to the word here, it says, because we live like Jesus here in the earth. So we are sure that even on the day of judgment, we will face him without any problem. Because we are living like him. Some of you, you are dreading the day of judgment. But it's coming anyway. Okay? So it means when I still have my breath, we talked about when I still have breath, I will keep on worshiping you. I'll keep on worshiping him when I have my breath. I'll keep on serving him when I have my breath. I'll keep on doing what the kingdom of God wants me to do when I have my breath. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Amen. Because Jesus even says, so he says, as he is, so are we here on the earth. We can live like him. And somebody would say, live like Jesus? Jesus was good. How many of you have ever heard this saying? No one is perfect. We are all sinners. So you're trying to justify. So I was a sinner before I accepted Jesus. But after accepting a Jesus, I don't remain a sinner. I'm a child of God. Amen? So if you are still a sinner after the blood of Jesus has done the work, you must say you are still a sinner and we will help you to accept Jesus. But don't try and justify it and put us in your camp. Amen. So Jesus now teaches us, as much as he lived on the earth consumed by the kingdom, he teaches his disciples now and say, go with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9 and 10, King James Version, KJV, Matthew 6, 9 and 10. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to look at this verse very closely. Jesus says, when you pray, you say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Where? Here on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May the kingdom of God come to your families. May your the kingdom of God come to your places wherever you are. Because you are there as a child of God, let that place be different. The kingdom of God has come among you. Jesus used to like saying, when he would be among people and casting out devils, he says, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, it means the kingdom of God has come among you. So as long as I'm here with you, the kingdom has come. So he says we must ask, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it means the kingdom should first come to me as an individual. Because there is no point in calling the kingdom of God to come on earth when it's not starting with you. I want to accept this kingdom. And when the kingdom is in me, then I can start influencing things around me with this kingdom. Amen. And it means if the kingdom of God is with me, even the way I think, I am kingdom-minded. I've got the mind of Christ. I am preoccupied with things of the kingdom. The book of Colossians chapter 1, 3, verse 1 and 2, Good News Translation, Colossians 3, 1 and 2, GNT, says, you have been raised to life with Christ. So set your hearts on the things that are in heaven, where Christ sits in his throne at the right side of God. Keep your minds fixed on things there, not on things here on earth. Did you see that? He says, if you have been raised with Christ, if you are now a child of God, set your heart on things that are in heaven. Be kingdom minded. Okay, that verse that we read earlier, which says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Let me just explain to you, and I link it with this one that we have said now here. When you are a child of God, you are a representative of God's kingdom on the earth. Let me repeat. When you are a child of God, you are God's representative on the earth. You are like an ambassador. You know an ambassador? An ambassador is somebody who is dispatched from their kingdom to another country so that they can go to that country and represent their country. When you are an ambassador, an American ambassador in South Africa, you are not a South African. You retain your identity as an American in South Africa and you speak for America. So, which kingdom do you speak for? Huh? Do you speak for the kingdom of heaven? For the kingdom of God? When you say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, do you think they are gossiping in heaven? Huh? They are hating each other in heaven? They are committing adultery and fornication in heaven? No. So it means, when I say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Actually, you need to start by saying, thy will be done in my life as it is in heaven. And when the will of God is done in my life, it means even my behaviors will be aligned to the kingdom. But again, even the things that the devil wants to do in my life, he can't do them because in heaven it's not done that way. Do you think in heaven they are very sick? The angels, sometimes they can't worship because they are sick. We wanted to worship, but today we can't worship. You think they do that, the angels? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Thy kingdom come. So when I claim my healing, I say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Because when I'm a child of God, when I'm an ambassador, my issues are handled by my kingdom. Did you know that an ambassador is also even protected by their own countries? We don't want to put you at risk, so we'll make sure you are safe. So now you are an ambassador of heaven. Don't you think you are well protected? Don't you think you are well provided for? When you are an ambassador, it's your country that takes care of you. Tell your neighbor you are sitting next to an ambassador. They say, of which country? You say, I'm an ambassador of heaven on earth. Amen. It's a better title than any other title you can have on earth. Because I represent the kingdom of heaven here on the earth. And the place where I stay is an embassy. Yeah. as an embassy. Yes. Amen. Because when people want to seek the face of God, you know, in the book of Samuel, it says, in the olden days, when people wanted to know the will of God, they will go to a seer. And it says, the one who is called a seer today used to be called a prophet. Okay? They would go to a seer or a prophet saying, let's go and find out the will of God. So can people come to you when they want to know about God? Or people just come to you when they want to gossip? They know you are a gossip receiver. So you need to tell them, no, I'm an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. Yes, I don't represent the worldly things. So look at how Jesus prayed for his disciples. Because for me, this one, this is the last prayer that he prayed for his disciples before he departed. So Jesus came on earth, he lived on earth, showing us how to live in victory here on the earth. To live bringing the kingdom of heaven here on the earth. And then, before he left, he prayed for his disciples. And he prayed for us also. So I want us to look at that prayer and see what is the wish of Jesus when we are here on the earth. Because he prayed for us. He prayed for his disciples before he left. John 17, 9 to 20. I'll do it in the NLT. John 17, 9 to 20, NLT. He says, my prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me because they belong to you. I want to start there. Did you know that most of the time, sometimes, some of you just pray like, I'm praying for everybody in the world. He says, in this case, Jesus used to pray for specific things. He would sometimes pray for the world, sometimes pray for that. But he says, here now, my prayer is not. Did you see that? He says, my prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me because they belong to you. In other words, when I pray for these ones that have got a relationship with me, it's different from when I'm just praying for everybody else. My prayer is not for the world. In this specific time now, I want to pray for those who belong to you. He says, all who are mine belong to you. Tell your neighbor, I belong to God. Tell your neighbor, the enemy cannot touch me, I belong to God. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because if I belong to God, even the way I behave like somebody belonging to God. I'm special, a royal priesthood. Amen. A holy nation. I belong to God. Amen. And if I belong to God, I'm a treasure of God. The Bible says, I'm an apple of his eye. Have you ever noticed if anything wants to come to your eye, quickly your eye gets protected. No matter how fast the thing is going. So, if I am the apple of God, I am untouchable by the enemy. Because I belong to God. I am God's property. Amen. Under new management. Amen. Yeah, you need to put that board on you. The people who know you when you were still in the world, when you were doing all those other things, they need to see new caption now. Under new management. I belong to God. So devil, if you want to give other people sicknesses, you cannot do in this body because I belong to God. Amen. He says, all who are mine belong to you and you have given them to me. So they bring me glory. So if I belong to God, I bring glory to God. I don't bring shame to the name of God. He says, now I am departing from the world. They are staying in this world. You see how Jesus is phrasing things now? So he's talking to the Father. He says, I'm now departing. I'm coming to you. But they are remaining here in this world. Tell your neighbor, we are still here. So therefore, when we are here, we will hear now what Jesus say about us when we are staying here. He says, but I'm coming to you, Holy Father. You have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are. So he says, you have given me a name. That name, protect them through that name. So for me, when I have the name of Jesus, I'm protected. Amen? Yeah. And the good thing with the protection of the Lord, it doesn't matter what the enemy wants to attack you with. Did you know that things of this world to protect you, they protect for a specific thing? Yeah, you know that. You know that if you've got a gun and a truck is coming when you are in your car, does your gun protect you? No. It will still kill you with your gun. And if somebody then says, then you use other things for protection for this, protection for this. There are even people who, when they buy cars, they put something there. And you, how can you go to the enemy to protect you when he's the one who wants to kill you? I mean, you're not thinking. Did you know that the one who hates you, the one who wants to kill you is the devil? Did you know that? So how can you go to the kingdom of darkness to be protected from the kingdom of darkness? You're not thinking. That's why Psalms 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He covers me with his feathers. Under his wings, I take refuge. Because now I'm protected from the forces of darkness, then I must go to the name of the Lord. You know the song, it's a verse. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they are safe. So it means if I want to be safe from all the attacks of the enemy, I need to hide under the blood of Jesus. Then you can sing a song. I'm gonna stay right under the blood. I'm gonna stay right under the blood. I'm gonna stay right under the blood. Where the devil can do me no harm. Some of you are not singing. You think I say that and the devil finds me outside. Sing it with me. I'm gonna stay right under the blood. I'm gonna stay right under the blood. I'm gonna stay right under the blood, where the devil can do me no harm. You must even shine and say, no harm, no harm, no harm. No harm, no harm, no harm. No harm, no harm, no harm. Where the devil can do me no harm. Rather be protected by the Lord, because the protection of the Lord covers everything. Some of you are afraid of wizards and witches. And you still want to go to a sangoma to protect you. You are going to the wrong place, because you are going to the same group. That's why I like it when he says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. So, okay. Sorry, Mr. Mashambe and Brother Omega. When we grew up, at our place, they thought that the strongest in Nyangasa are in Zimbabwe. And followed by those in Durban, KwaZulu-Natal. So, In their view, if you go to Zimbabwe or you go to Durban, you are fine. The enemy cannot do you any harm. But the thing is that somebody can go to another one which is stronger than yours. Then you are still caught, isn't it? So rather go to the Most High. Amen. So I rather go to God, and I know that there is no one above the Most High. Tell your neighbor, there is no one above the Most High. That's why Jesus says, I've given them your name. I protect them through the name that you have given me. So that's why, and the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and it's a protection indeed. Every time, the good thing with the name of Jesus is that it's always in your mouth. Wherever you go, call on the name of Jesus. Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So listen to Jesus. He says, now I'm departing from the world, they are staying in the world. Verse 11. But I'm coming to you, Holy Father. You have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them. How did he protect them? I want you to read in your Bibles. He says, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. That's how he protected them. So that's why I call on the name of the Lord. That is your defense. The name of Jesus. You remember when the Israelites were afraid of Goliath? Goliath would come there and he was intimidating them, like the devil would come and intimidate you and threaten you. So it says the Israelites were very much afraid, and David came there and said, What's the fuss here? He said, no, this man, he's coming here, he's defying the armies of God, and many things that they said. Then he said, what shall be done to somebody who kills this Philistine and take away reproach from Israel? Because he's defying the kingdom of my father. And you know how David faced Goliath. So the first time, Saul and other people, they wanted to give David their armor. David tried it and said, this doesn't work for me. Leave me to use what I know works. Amen? And what works? He says, when he was facing Goliath, you are coming against me with a spear, a sword, and a javelin. But I'm coming against you in the name of Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Amen. Amen. So it means they can come against me with anything, but I come against them in the name of the Lord of hosts, in the name of Jesus. And I keep on using that name. He says, I've protected them through the name you gave me. I guarded them so that not one of them was lost except the one headed for destruction, as the scripture foretold. Now I'm coming to you. I told them many things when I was with them in this world so that they would be filled with joy. I have given them your word. You see what Jesus is saying? He starts with the name. Now he says, I have given them your word. So when I have the name and I have the word, I overcome the enemy. That's why the Bible says they overcame him by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. So when I've got the name and I've got the word, I'm covered. That's when you are living in the kingdom. That's when your kingdom will take care of you and you are protected in your kingdom. He says, verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they don't belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. Did you see what Jesus just said there? He is not praying that we be taken away from the world. He says, preserve them and protect them from the evil one when they are there in the world. So tell your neighbor, Jesus has prayed for my protection. So he says, I'm not saying take them out of the world. I say preserve them, protect them from the evil one. So it means I just need to affirm that by calling on the name of Jesus all the time. Amen? Amen. When you feel like you are a little bit scared, you are a bit afraid, some things seem to be coming against you and all that, remember the name of Jesus. Remember the name of the Lord, which is a strong tower. Run unto it and be safe. So he says, verse 16, they don't belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so that they can be made holy by your truth. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. So Jesus says, I'm not only praying for these disciples, but I'm praying for all others like me and you. He prayed for us. And Jesus' prayer will never fail. Amen? Yeah. Jesus prayed for us so that we can represent his kingdom well here on the earth. Because when he left, he prayed for his disciples. He was saying, the work that I started doing when I was here on the earth, I want you to continue to do it. Because Jesus' purpose was, you know, 1 John 3:8, it says, for the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. So Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So when he was going and leaving the earth, do you think the devil should be off the hook? He says, I am leaving my ambassadors. I am leaving my representatives who bear my name, who are Christ's Christians. And they will remain doing the work of my Father. Because they are members of the kingdom. And if you read Philippians 3:20 in the Good News Translation, Philippians 3:20, look at this. He says, we, however, are citizens of heaven, and we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come from heaven. Did you just say that you are a citizen of heaven? Tell your neighbor, you are sitting next to an important person. You are sitting next to a citizen of heaven. Do you know that people of this world, they are very funny. If there was somebody from a country that you esteem, maybe an American, coming to our church today, you want him to sit in the front seat. But you are coming from heaven, and we're not giving you a front seat. So why should I give an American a front seat? Because you are a citizen of heaven. You represent the kingdom of heaven here on the earth. So some of you don't understand the position that you are in, being a child of God, because you are not kingdom-minded. You are like people of the world. You are living like people of the world. But when it says, I am a citizen of heaven, so it means when I'm on the earth, I'm just an ambassador. I'm a deployee. You know, politicians want to deploy people. So you can say, I'm a deployee of the kingdom of heaven. I've been deployed here on the earth for a mission. And when the task and the assignment is completed, I go back to my country. Amen. I go back to my Father. So the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20, King James Version says, 2 Corinthians 5:20 KJV, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. He says we are ambassadors for Christ. We speak for Christ. We represent the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever heard a term called misrepresentation? Misrepresentation. So some of the people are misrepresenting the kingdom of heaven. People were supposed to be looking at you and see heaven. And they were expecting to see heaven. Now they are surprised. How? We thought this person is a member of Jesus the Savior Church. Of that pastor who keeps on telling us we must live like Jesus. Hey, it means this pastor doesn't know his people, man. Because you are misrepresenting us. You are misrepresenting the kingdom of heaven. When you are an ambassador, you must represent your kingdom. Amen. Don't bring the name of the Lord into disrepute. Because even organizations will charge you for bringing their name into disrepute. Just that we don't charge you for bringing the name of Jesus into disrepute. Yeah, in the old days, especially the mainline churches, yeah, you bring the name of the Lord or the name of the church into disrepute, then they will sanction you in church because you are bringing the name of the Lord into disrepute. You are bringing our name into disrepute. So the fact that we are not doing that to you doesn't mean you are off the hook because you are facing the master himself. You remember when David said, I think it was David, after he did something wrong, either David or Hezekiah, one of the two of them, said, when he was given an option, this thing that you have done is so bad. Do you want me to deal with you? Or do you want your enemies to deal with you? Do you want me to allow famine to come to your land? Then he said, I can't choose to come into your hands. I'd rather be dealt with by all these other things, but to be dealt by the Lord, uh-uh. So, which one do you choose? Because when we are not doing anything on you, when you're keeping on living the way you want, you are facing the Lord himself. And it's not good. So it's time to repent. Amen? It's time to repent. So you know that usually I don't preach like this. I usually just tell you faith and victory and all that. But it's time to reflect. Because as much as we want to live in victory here on the earth, we must make sure that we are living right with the Lord. Because if you are not living right with the Lord, everything that I'm teaching you will not work. I think Bome touched on it last week when she was preaching. And she said, the pastor usually teach you faith and all that, but there are this many other things that if you are not doing them, it won't work. Amen? You disqualify yourself. You are like a suspended traffic officer. Can I explain to you the work of a traffic officer? Do you know that a traffic officer has got authority? The traffic officer has got the authority irrespective of their height, irrespective of their nationality, irrespective of their color. If you are coming and then they do this, even if your truck is big, those ones with code 14, then he does this and he says this. You've got to get that thing down and get out of the road because somebody with authority has lifted up the head. Okay? Now, why do you think that truck doesn't run over this man? Do you think that man has got enough power to stop the truck? Do you think that man has got enough power to destroy that truck? That's not what the driver of the big truck is afraid of. The driver of the big truck is not afraid of this tiny traffic officer in front of him. He's afraid of the forces behind the traffic officer. So even the devil, do you know that the devil may look at your size and undermine you? Ask him. He tried to do it with David. Undermine. You remember how Goliath was talking about David? Am I a dog? You come to me with a stick. And the Bible says David was like fair. You see, it's like he was beautiful, young man, handsome. So probably Goliath, I don't know how Goliath looked. But I can guess. I think you've got something in your mind. And when you look like Goliath, then you look like a real soldier. But if you look beautiful, like I get surprised. I sometimes ask women, hey, I get surprised when I see ladies who are boxers. When I see a girl boxing, your face is so beautiful, man. Leave men's faces to be beaten, not your face. To me, it just doesn't make sense, but it's democracy anyway. Amen? So, that's why for me, I think that we must know who we are and treasure ourselves. I'm a special possession of God. I represent the kingdom of God. I am the ambassador of Christ. Amen? So if I'm an ambassador, I will speak for my kingdom. I will live for my kingdom. I will represent my kingdom. By the way, when you are an ambassador, you also give like an ambassador. We're going to give.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, people who are worldly minded, when it's time to give, they think, oh, it's a problem now. Because you are worldly minded. But if you are kingdom minded, you know that whatever I have, the Lord has blessed me with it. And in our kingdom, we give. Because God so loved the world that he gave. I also love and give. Amen. That's why the book of Philippians chapter 4. We're going to give using this verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 18 to 19 in the New Living Translation, NLT. Philippians chapter 4, 18 to 19. Listen to Paul. He says, at the moment, I have all I need and more. I'm generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. You see what your gifts are like? Your gifts are like a fragrant, a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. Amen? Yes. So you need to give with a generous heart, knowing that I am pleasing the Father. My gift is a sweet smelling aroma. I give like an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. Some of you, it's optional. You're not like Christ. Did you know that some of you are so much fixed in not giving that you even say, even when they are building, I will see if they will finish that church. I will not give. I mean, we build a big house like that and you haven't contributed anything. How do you feel? Because even the Sunday school would do better. Sunday school, building up the temple. Building up the temple of the Lord. Building up the temple. Building up the temple. Building up the temple of the Lord. We are going to sing that one when we give. So get ready. Because Sunday school are teaching us we are going to build the temple of the Lord. So verse 19 says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. So the King James says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So as an ambassador, you are provided for not according to the world system. That's why for me, I don't mind what the economy is doing or what the economy does. It doesn't affect me because I'm provided for from a different kingdom. Interest rates may go up. The rent may depreciate. But my kingdom stands. Amen? Yeah, when some of you are saying, Oh, the petrol is going so high that we'll park our cars because we'll no longer have money for petrol. It's because you are provided for from this world. I get provided for from my kingdom. Do you think you can exhaust my kingdom? You can exhaust the kingdom of heaven that now in the kingdom they say we are bankrupt. Pome read a scripture for you last week in giving, and she said, when the people were giving, they gave so much that they were had to be stopped. You don't have to give anymore. This is too much. That's kingdom mentality. Amen? So give like an ambassador. Tell your neighbor you need to give like an ambassador. Ambassadors are not stingy. Tell your neighbor, ambassadors are not stingy. Yeah, because when you are an ambassador, you represent the kingdom of heaven. And he says, if you do that, this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs. And I pray for you. And all of you who are givers, may the Lord show himself strong on your behalf. May the Lord multiply your seed sown and increase your fruit, the fruit of your righteousness. As you are a tither, may the Lord confirm his word in your life that he said he will open windows of heaven for you so that you may not have room enough to receive the blessing. As you are a tither, may the Lord continue to rebuke the devourer for your sake. Did you know that the devourer likes devouring things? He keeps on coming, devouring things. He wants to devour your money through illnesses. You get so sick that you've got to pay a lot of money. Even the medical aid is no longer able to cover it, and you've got to pay. The enemy is devouring. Amen? Sometimes you've got a property, you've got a car. Now it's beyond repair. Now this. So the enemy is devouring. He wants to devour. So, but the Lord says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Prove me now herewith and see. So the good thing is that if I am proving the Lord and I'm seeing, I'm faithful to what God said I must do, even when I'm attacked, my conscience is not guilty. Do you know that some of you, when you are attacked, quickly the devil accuses you. You don't tithe. That's why that's happening. But he's the one who made you not to tithe. Now he's mocking you when you are in trouble. Amen? So we must serve God so much that we must talk like Jesus. You remember Jesus, when they were coming to him, they were coming to arrest him. He said, the prince of this world is coming against me, but he's got nothing in me. I am choosing to lay down my life. Amen? In other words, I owe the devil nothing. So it means it's actually better if something is going wrong because you are like Job, where the enemy is attacking you and the enemy just attacked you, but you haven't contributed to that attack. Okay? I don't know if you're getting this. So it means even if you are doing things right, you may still be attacked. It doesn't mean people who are attacked are the people who are not doing what God wants them to do. But if I'm attacked when I know that I've done all I need to do as a person, I've got no guilt conscience. I even have guts to fight. But if you are attacked when you know you have opened a door for the enemy, you will be condemned in your heart to face the enemy. So let's just do what is right. Live right, serve God, and bless the Lord with your substance. Are you going to be kingdom-minded? Kingdom-minded. So Sunday school.